What's up, Wayfinders, and welcome into Disney My Way, episode number 115. My name is Lightning Lane, ka-chow, and today we are going over some tips and tricks for Genie Plus. So you guys are not going to want to miss this episode today. It's going to be a big one. Mike and Myra are back from their Alaskan cruise. We'll talk about that a little bit with them as well, and then we'll get into our main topic of the day. But first, we have some quick news to go over, relatively light news week since our last episode. But first and foremost, Fantasmic at Disneyland is going to remain closed throughout the summer following the Maleficent incident with the dragon. And if from another report, it says it'll be closed through at least Labor Day. So that means we're looking at September as a time frame now for the Disneyland version of Fantasmic to reopen. Disneyland quoted saying, "We are taking this time to evaluate the show and explore opportunities to add new magic and touches for guests to enjoy." So, I don't know if I've talked about this in particular, but of course, you know, with everything, they probably are going to take some time to reassess if this show is actually something that is worthwhile. I think I have talked about this before, so I won't go too deep into it. But, you know, that's just the thing, is if it's broken and it's a problem child for you, sometimes you got to reassess and say, is it actually worth doing this show night in and night out if there's a potential for this to happen so often? And look, I'm just going to say this as well. This is not a typical closure for something like this. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that it's going to take them a while to probably get the dragon back together and in working order and things like that. But this is a very lengthy closure time when the only thing from what we've been told that they're going to fix is the Maleficent dragon. And so for me, that means they're probably doing more behind the scenes than just fixing the dragon, if that makes sense. Probably means they are taking a deep dive into this show and wondering, okay, like, is it actually worth our time, our money, and our effort to keep this going, or should we change this out with something else? Now, you guys know how I sit on this. I love Fantasmic. I think Disneyland's version is terrific. If they don't keep their dragon and they decide to move on from this show, I will gladly take their dragon for the show at Hollywood Studios. But I would love for Disneyland to continue to do this show. I think it's a fun addition to the park. I think it's much needed. I think it helps to just give you another thing to do at night over at Disneyland, since there's no nighttime parade currently. So I don't know. I think it needs to stay. But obviously we're going to find out here over the next couple of months as they reevaluate what their final decision is. So next up, speaking of Disneyland, starting on June 5th, Peter Pan's Flight, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and Alice in Wonderland at Disneyland Park will be closed for maintenance on a shared building. And now we have the reopening dates. So we talked about that before, but now here will be the reopening dates for those rides. For Mr. Toad's Wild Ride and Alice in Wonderland, they will both reopen on June 16th, and Peter Pan's Flight will reopen on June 30th. Like I mentioned in the news report, they do share a building. That is why all three of these rides are going down at the same time. It's not necessarily that all of them are like needing major reconstruction or anything. It's just, again, routine maintenance, but they all share a building, so they all have to go down at the same time so they can get in there and fix everything all at once, and then they'll bring it back up. Now, this will be a pretty big hit for the Disneyland park, because those are some pretty popular dark ride attractions for guests, especially Peter Pan's Flight and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. So you're taking out some heavier hitters in the park, but I think it's still, I mean, you gotta do it sometimes. So you have to go under some maintenance on these rides from time to time. You can't have them open, you know, 24/7, 365. So, you know, it's a typical maintenance. It's nothing crazy. They should be back up just within a month. So if you're a Disneyland local, just keep that in mind as you go to the parks. Starting in June, you're going to have some rides that are going down. Then finally, we talked about last week, the biggest news item was that the Galactic Star Cruiser is going to be closing down in September permanently. And of course, now that ticket sales have resumed for the Star Cruiser, the Final Voyage has officially sold out. So that Final Voyage in September is now sold out. So if you were hoping to get landed on that final date before it closed, you can't anymore. It's closed. It's sold out. And so the final voyage is now taken, which doesn't surprise me. You know, everybody wants to say they were the last ones on something, you know, whether it's a final ride on Splash Mountain, whether it's, you know, a final stay at some place before it gets rethemed or reused. So, you know, that's just one of those things of everybody wants to say they were the last, and I'm sure there will be a fight to be the last person out the door on the Star Cruiser when it's all said and done. So we'll have that to look forward to. But it is crazy that it is closing again just so quickly after it's been open. And me, Mike, and Myra actually talk about that a little bit in the episode. I get their thoughts on it, and then we kind of discuss what the future of it will be. And so make sure to stay tuned for that. But that is actually all the news for this week. So we are going to hear a quick ad spot for our friend Myra, and then we are going to go ahead and get into our topic for today, which is some tips and tricks for using Genie Plus. So hang tight, and we'll be right back. Hey there, Wayfinders. It's Lightning Lane, Kachow, and I am so excited to be sharing with you guys about our friend Myra with Magical Vacation Planner. You guys know we love taking trips to Disney. We love coming to you guys every single week, sharing our love for the parks, and we want you guys to be able to have a magical vacation of your own. And so if you are interested in going to Disney, Universal, or anywhere else in the world, then you need to hit up our friend Myra to help you plan your next magical trip. And the best part is, her services are 100% free. That's right. You can contact Myra today for a free quote at m.williams@magicalvacationplanner.com. Again, that's m.williams@magicalvacationplanner.com, or you can look in the show notes below for her email. Now, planning a vacation can be stressful, and we try to help you guys out as much as possible, but why not reach out to a professional with Myra at Magical Vacation Planner and make your dream vacation come true and make it just a whole lot easier. Now, let's get back to the show. All right, everybody, Mike and Myra are back. We are so happy they are here again. They just got back from being in Alaska for a while. So I want to start with that so everybody can kind of hear about y'all's trip and your cruise, because this is a different cruise line. Y'all didn't do a Disney cruise to Alaska, right?
No. First off, welcome home.
Yes. I
haven't said that in a while.
You haven't, no.
Hey, I found the snacks.
He found the snacks.
I found the snacks. And I'm here for the snacks. That's for sure. Is.
Lots of snacks on a cruise.
Yes, they are.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't believe that.
All the ice cream you want.
Oh, God. So that didn't change from cruise lines.
We went on. Can we say what?
Yeah, we can say what.
We went on Prestige this time.
No, Princess.
Princess. We went on Princess this time.
Princess and, cruise line.
I mean, it was nice. Mm-hmm. And the Royal Princess.
Their specialty is Alaska.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was nice. I will say that it's not Disney.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say it's not Disney, and that anytime that I can do a Disney cruise, I will do a Disney cruise.
Yes.
If I had to rate everything from food to entertainment, to organization, Disney is far superior to Princess.
Interesting.
Now, and I say that they're not bad.
Yeah.
But when you hold it up, when you put a candle to the person that's on the top, you know, it's hard to measure up to what they are.
That's true. Yes, that's very true. But from what y'all were telling me, it seemed like it was just a very interesting experience. Like, because you said you weren't far from the shore or anything like that.
We always saw land. On one side or the other, or both. We saw land.
The only time that you were really in the open ocean was from
Seattle
to Victoria Island, that back that way. And then you get into the Inside Passage. When going up to Alaska, going north to Alaska.
Yeah,
we'll use the song. We go north to Alaska. You're in the open ocean to till you get to about Juneau yeah. area. But then when you're coming through the Inside Passage and you're coming back to Seattle's where we ported out of, you're pretty close to land the whole way. Now, I will say this is we went to Seattle too.
Yeah.
We were there for about a day and a half, mm-hmm. went to Pike's Place Market, went to the Space Needle.
Yeah.
Took a harbor cruise. The 2 days before the cruise, it was raining and cloudy and overcast. So you couldn't see Mount Rainier.
Interesting.
You couldn't see Mount Rainier. I mean, we went up to into the Space Needle and Chihuly Gardens. If you ever go to Seattle, go to Chihuly Gardens. It's a glass garden.
Beautiful.
It's named after this Chihuly glassblower artist.
Yeah. Oh.
And it is beautiful.
That's awesome.
But Space Needle is really cool. And the Chihuly Gardens is right there by the Space Needle. So you can do both at the same time. And Seattle is a very clean city. Walkable.
Wet.
Mm. Now, when we arrived back to the port in Seattle, it was
beautiful.
Not a cloud in the sky.
Oh, of course.
And Mount Rainier was awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
All of its majesty to the south west of Seattle. It was awesome. So on a clear sunny day, there is definitely a Chamber of Commerce moments that would attract people. I can see why people want to live there.
Yeah.
Because on those beautiful days like that, it's special.
Like it.
But they get more rain in the year than anybody.
I think that's the common, it's not like a myth. It's like a common just thing everybody knows. It rains in Seattle.
Our excursions that we went on a White Pass Railroad up into the Yukon. That was really neat. It takes you into Canada.
We did the basic excursions. We didn't do anything extra fancy or the helicopter. We didn't do any of that kind of stuff.
The helicopter was booked. We talked about doing a helicopter ride to the
glacier.
To the top of and land on Mendenhall Glacier and then get out and walk on the glacier. But we didn't get to. So we just went to the Mendenhall Glacier and saw the Glacier Bay National Park. Wow. Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine.
It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. All the glaciers that you see, the Marjorie Glacier is this huge one, John Hopkins Glacier. And then the glaciers, you can see the blue, brilliant blue in the ice. It was beautiful. And then we saw, I mentioned it to you earlier, we saw a humpback whale. And we saw it didn't breach. It came up out of the water a little bit. But then we saw its calf. It flipped its tail over. And then we heard the mother singing to the baby.
Yeah.
And that was just the coolest thing.
Yeah.
That,
and I think we were on our balcony.
Yeah, we were on our balcony.
Of our room.
Wow.
Yeah, we saw that. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. In Juneau, there was one little riverbed. We saw about 15 bald eagles just sitting on the bank of the river.
Oh, wow.
It was really cool. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
We went to a lumberjack show in Ketchikan.
That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in Ketchikan, we also went to a totem pole state park.
Oh, okay.
And they talk about the construction of totem poles and how the natives lived and the Northwest Indians lived. That was educational.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun. Now, I'm not trying to do a promo for Princess Royal here, but I think it's important for people to be able to differentiate between, because you love Disney cruises. You've been on plenty.
Yes.
Like, in terms of lodging, how are the rooms different between the two, and if any at all?
Very similar to, we've only been on two Disney cruises, the Wish and the Fantasy. The difference is on... Well, it depends on the level of room you get. But the rooms we've gotten on Disney, there have been two bathrooms, basically. Mm-hmm. One, you have one room, you have the sink and the potty. Mm-hmm. And the other room, you have a shower.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. So that's kind of unique about
Disney.
That's
nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but the Royal, it was just basic. It kind of reminded me of a airplane bathroom toilet.
Okay. Yeah.
The toilet part, but the shower was, you know, it was
a walk-in shower.
It was just a walk-in. Yeah. Nothing fancy. I mean, Disney's was fancier because the tiles are actual.
It's colored.
Yeah. Red, white, you know, it's fancy. Gotcha. Fancier.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think on the Disney one, they have a drop down bunk bed.
Bed.
And they didn't have Princess.
Well, I think it's because of the room we got.
Okay.
The category.
Okay. Maybe the category.
Depends on the category of room you get.
Okay.
Yes.
But we didn't have a couch. So we didn't have that bigger room.
Right.
Yeah.
We have the extra bed.
Okay. Know? So that makes sense. That
category of room.
Yeah.
But as far as setup, it was pretty much all set up the same.
Okay.
Internet stunk.
Yeah.
I mean, even Disney's internet stinks.
But I tell you what was kind of cool. We had these, they have medallions. It's called Medallion Class. And it's like a magic band.
Yeah.
Oh.
You get these little discs, and we bought a band off of Amazon that could put the disc in.
You put the little puck in, yeah.
Or you could put it, you know, you could put it around your neck on a lanyard or whatever. And that opened your room. We scanned it to go off the ship or to get on the ship. We scanned it for dinner reservations and just different. So it was like a magic band.
And Disney, and the two cruises we've gone with Disney, they
just have a card.
They just have a card. I got a feeling they'll be going to be going to some kind of magic band.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I've heard something about it actually, that they're going to use a magic band or something similar to it on their cruises. So, but that was good to have. So
did you scan it, your picture comes up.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's
automatically can identify you.
Yeah. Okay. And I know dining is obviously much different between the two. Do they have like on Princess Royal, do they have like the big restaurants or is it just more basic restaurants? Okay, they do, but they're not themed
two major restaurants that you can eat at that's part of your dining package.
There were three
major restaurants. Mm-hmm. Then they have some specialty restaurants that you can pay extra to go to. And even at three regular restaurants, you could upgrade what your meal is by paying extra. But then there's a buffet area for that you can go in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And then there's a out on the
around the pool.
Around the pool area, I guess that's promenade deck. Mm-hmm. They have food.
Pizza and hamburgers and chicken strips and stuff like that.
Ice cream.
Of course.
That's where, and Disney's the same way. Theirs is the same way.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Of course, on Princess, they don't have rotational dining. So you just go to which one you want to go to and you get the waiters that you get. But in Disney, they rotate you to the different restaurants. And your wait staff goes with you to each of those restaurants. So you get to know those guys and they get to know you.
That's right.
It's a little bit more of
a personal
experience through Disney.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the difference in the restaurants is that on the Royal, the menu was the same at each restaurant. You just were sitting in a different room.
Gotcha.
But on Disney, it's different.
Menu's
different.
In each of the Disney restaurants, they're themed differently.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be at the Enchanted Garden one day, and you have the princesses entertaining
they
you.
They come in.
And then you might have Elsa and Anna performing at one restaurant. What's that? What's the name of that one?
I can't remember.
And then you have Marvel at one. And then you have one.
You have different entertainment.
Different types of entertainment, different types of themes that run through the Disney ships. Whereas, really, their restaurants were not themed that way.
Gotcha.
I mean, it was good. It was good.
I missed hanging out on the deck. You know, just sitting out on the deck, and they have a big screen out on the pool area, but there was never anything playing. Whereas Disney, there's something constantly on the screen.
Yeah.
And part of that though is it was colder weather.
It was cold and I didn't want to sit out there either.
Okay.
That's a big difference in the.
So I think that was kind of a waste. I don't know if that's a good word, but not a good, I didn't get to use the deck.
Yeah. Maybe more of like a bummer. Like it's just kind of more of a bummer part of it.
Yeah, it was.
They have entertainment, but their entertainment's not as they don't have as many opportunities for entertainment as what you find on the Disney ship. Even on the Disney ship, they have theaters where they're showing first run movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In these theaters. Besides those theaters where they show the movies might seat 400 or 500 people. But then you have the main theater that's going to seat 3,000, and that's where they have their Broadway productions.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
On Princess, they didn't have that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, as Myra mentioned, on the deck on the Disney ships, they have a feature film showing right there too.
So, or even at night, football game.
I watched the Cowboys when we were on the Disney Wish. I watched the Cowboys play somebody. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah.
On Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
On the deck of the Wish.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
The staff, they were great.
They were great. Yeah.
Great. We got the drink package, which you could get specialty coffee. So I could get I found a new coffee I like, a honey lavender latte. Delicious. Yeah. So I got one every day. The first day I got two because we paid for it and I could. And then at dinner, we got the non-alcoholic drink of the day or whatever they had, because we could,
The no-hito.
Yeah.
So, sunrise. It was some kind of
strawberry sunrise,
which was
the jalapeno.
Oh, golly.
There was a strawberry jalapeno drink thing.
Oh, gosh.
There was a mango something. So I got one of each. So we were trying to, no.
Oh, gosh. I couldn't,
I couldn't drink alcohol because if it burns like that.
No, thank you.
But the drink package also, you get Cokes. You can get a Coke, bottle of water, any, it's all part of the drink package that you get.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, and we paid for an internet package too, but I'd said the internet didn't work, right?
Yeah. I don't feel like any cruise ship ever has luck with internet.
Terrible, yeah.
So, from what I've heard. Okay, now before we get into our topic for today, because I think this is going to be one that everybody is excited to hear about, I want to get your reaction because y'all weren't on last week when this news broke, but the Galactic Star Cruiser is now permanently closing this September. Yeah. And I want to know what y'all think about that.
Meh.
It was just a matter of time. I think the previous leadership
pushed it.
Yeah. And it's only built for a specific segment of the audience. And,
and we're not part of that audience.
Not
so
everybody
didn't really appeal to us.
I mean, yeah, would I like to go do it? Yeah, but I don't want to spend 2 days or 3 days playing Star Wars when I'm going to be going to the parks.
That's right. Yeah, I think it was just a failed idea.
My question to you is, what are we going to do with it now?
See, that's what I'm wondering about too, because I don't know if they're going to just open it as a regular hotel. Like where you can just go stay and talk about access points.
Yeah.
You can walk to Hollywood from your hotel. But I don't think they're going to do that.
I think they got to recoup their money though. And
I know.
The only way you can recoup your money is by putting people in those beds.
I know. And I was thinking, maybe they could just open it up as like a walkthrough thing where guests, you could walk. But then that wouldn't work either because it's so far from.
I think a regular hotel would.
I think they open it up as a regular hotel.
I think they
deluxe,
have to.
A deluxe hotel. There has been some talk that it would become a DVC property.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't heard that.
So I've heard that too. So, I mean, how many points would that? I mean, but a lot of the things that go with it. All the game and role playing would go away.
Yeah, it would have to.
That's just so expensive
to
maintain.
You can still keep the food.
Yeah, that's so expensive to maintain.
Yeah.
I really do see it becoming a hotel either a DVC resort or some type of resort for a deluxe resort level. Yeah.
Well, of course, the jokes have been a-flowing through that it's going to turn into a Spirit Halloween store because, you know, they always vacate closed buildings.
That's funny.
There's just always rumors floating around to what.
That's funny.
They're gonna do.
Yeah, it was just a matter of time before that happened. You could see it coming.
Yeah.
No, they weren't feeling it. They cut prices to try to get people in.
Oh, they were begging people.
Yes, they were. They were charging too much money to get people in. I mean, if they were charging a family of four and they could get in for 2 days for $2,000, yeah, people would go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I had someone interested in doing that because they're a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
And then when I sent them the price, they were like, oh, that's just for one person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For exactly. 2 days?
Yeah.
They were like, no.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it never made sense to me.
Yeah.
And it just never did.
Previous leadership really messed that one up.
Yes. Amen. All for the sake of being C-H-E-A-P. So... We'll move past it. I just wanted to see what y'all thought because obviously that was like the biggest news that like broke, I think, since y'all been gone. Other than Fantasmic at Disneyland continuing to get pushed back more and more and more and more because because of the Maleficent Dragon. It's not open until post-summer. I went over that in the news portion for this episode. But
well, you know, the Maleficent Dragon at Disney World in the parade is breathing fire again.
Yes, it is. Yes. Which is big because they shut that down for a while too because it caught on fire before. It's mm-hmm. caught on fire before too.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, crazy times we live in. Yeah. But we'll get into our topic for today because we are talking about some tips and tricks for Genie Plus. I think this is going to be one that a lot of people probably been wanting us to do for a while because it is so confusing. It's the new, if you don't know what it is, it is a new system that was introduced in 2022 or was it late 2021?
Oh, golly. I want to say 21.
It was introduced in 21, yes. And it replaced the FastPass system. It can be anywhere between $15 and $30 per day, per person. And what you have to do is very confusing to get it to work. So our whole purpose here today is to try to help you guys as much as possible because I've seen so many people on the internet just so confused by it. Even now, it's 2 years old and it continues to get more and more confusing every single day. So we'll start with the basics with it. And the first thing is I would always suggest, I don't know if y'all would agree, buying it at midnight. The midnight of whatever day you're going into because you can't purchase it beforehand. So like I can't, if I know I'm going to Magic Kingdom on a Wednesday, I can't buy it before my trip yet for that day. That option's coming back, I think, in 2024. But for right now, my first tip is buy it at midnight on your most important park days because it's going to sell. It could sell out. It has happened before.
They only have so many, right?
Yeah.
It could sell out, but...
Depends on the price of it.
Yeah, I mean, I've always bought it when I get up that morning mm-hmm. at 6:30, 6:45, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, you can buy it at midnight the night before.
I would say it probably depends on the time of year. Like mm-hmm. if you're going around 4th of July, maybe midnight might be a good thing. You know, holidays, doing it at midnight might be the safest bet.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I think it can go either. I think you can, whichever way makes you sleep better at night. It just makes me feel better knowing I've already bought it and I'm going to wake up in the morning and already have it
set.
Because I've woken up at 6:30 before to buy it and then my Disney experience crashed. Like it completely crashed.
And
then
everybody's trying to get it.
Well, the whole system was down that whole morning. Like it was a random crash that happened that morning. So like I would have been a much happier camper if I had already had and just knew once it came back up I can select something. So just whatever floats your boat, whatever is the best. I think either way you're fine. But from there, once you do have it, you do have to wake up early because those lightning lanes drop at 7 o'clock. And just like the virtual queue, we talked about it many times before, get on there at 6:58.
Yeah.
Wait till 6:59 and just start refreshing.
You know what I do, Lane?
What's that?
I pull up the atomic clock.
That's smart.
I pull up the atomic clock and I watch that atomic clock for the last, you know, when it gets down to about 10 seconds, I take it off and I pull up my Disney Experience or my virtual queue and I start refreshing right then.
Yes.
At that point in time.
Yes.
Because Disney follows that atomic clock and it's within just tenths of a second of being, you know, being on top of it. So,
yeah. And that can be the difference between getting a time you really want or a time in the mid afternoon, depending on your ride. So, so we'll go to this now because this is something that I do to try to help me out. The two rides that I want the most for whatever park it is, whether it's Magic Kingdom, Hollywood, whatever. There is the tip board that you can use and you can pin things that you want. I pin the top two attractions I want to try to land that morning up at the top. If it's Slinky Dog at Hollywood, I'm pinning that one. If it's, you know, Jungle Cruise, whatever, I'm pinning that one.
Okay. So that clarification.
Yes.
I know Mike's got this down, but I don't because I don't ever do it. But for those who are confused, here's a question.
Yes.
You buy it once and you can use it at every park that day?
Yes. When you have it, you have it all day, whether you're at
every park.
Every park.
Yes. But the only caveat to that is you can't use it at other parks until after 2 o'clock.
Until two, yes.
For right now, until you can park hop. So you can only make lightning lanes that morning for whatever park you're going to first, whatever first reservation is.
I think it's really important that when you get Genie Plus, that you have you've got a plan in place. If you're rope dropping, okay, I'm going to go do these two things first, and then I'm going to get this one as my Genie Plus. You know, because if you're rope dropping and you're a DVC guest. If you're staying in one of the, and you have early admission.
A resort guest.
If you're a resort guest and you get in 30 minutes early, there's a good chance you can do at least two of the hard ones first before you go do something else.
Yes.
And, you know, so, you know, I think at Hollywood Studios, okay, can I get it Rise of Resistance? Can I get Slinky Dog? Or Mickey Minnie, and you know, the combination of them, and then can I pull a Tower of Terror Genie Plus at that point in time? I know last time we were there, did we do Rise?
No, we didn't do Rise.
We did Mickey Minnie, we did Slinky Dog, we did Toy Story Mania. And then we used our Genie Plus at Tower of Terror, and we did all that within the first...
Before 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, so you got the big ones out of the way. Only thing you have left is Rise of Resistance.
That's right. And you have all day to
You can do that, or you can come back later that night and do it.
Okay, so you know you're at Hollywood in the morning, you get you get Lightning Lanes for Hollywood.
Yes.
If you're going to go to Magic Kingdom at 2... Can you go ahead and get lightning lanes after 2 o'clock at Magic Kingdom?
You have to wait until...
You have to wait till 2?
No. You have to wait until the attraction's return time is past 2 o'clock.
Correct. Yes.
So it's like Haunted. If I know I want to get one for Haunted Mansion at Magic Kingdom, I have to make sure Haunted Mansion is at a 2 p.m. or later time slot. Before I can get it. Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be as early, that could be as early as 10 o'clock in the morning.
That is true. Yeah.
I mean, you just have to watch. Okay. You know, you're going to go to Magic Kingdom, park hop. You just look and see when those things come available and you click it. Now, when you do that, it might limit you on what you can get in the present park that you're in though.
Yes. which is confusing to some people because there is that 120 minute rule that is dreaded. So we can walk through that real fast. So after you make your first part, your first lightning lane for the day,
7 o'clock,
7 o'clock, you are then put on the clock, but not from that point, which is confusing to a lot of people.
Yes, it is.
So it's from the time the park opens, that 2 hour window starts. So even if I get up at 7 and I get a Slinky Dog dash until Hollywood opens, let's say it's at 8:30. 8:30 is when the 2 hour clock starts. And I either have to wait 2 hours to pass before I can book my next lightning lane, or I have to use my first one. And and Mike, you can
go. And that's the big thing right there is if you use your first one, you can go back and you can get another one right then.
Yeah.
But then your clock starts over.
That's right.
Okay. So I've heard people say that once you use it and you book your next one, right? Mm-hmm. So once you use one, then you can book another one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You set a timer for 2 hours.
Yes. That would be the best tip to do.
On your phone.
Yeah.
Sedna, like, it will tell you. So if you try to make another lightning lane, well, actually now they have it at the top of the app. So on the tip board, it can tell you what time to make your next one.
But if you're like me and you don't always look at your phone,
yeah,
a notification would be good.
Yes.
Like an alarm.
Well, that's what I'm saying is you look at that and you say, oh, okay, I need to set a time for 1:35 and set your alarm for like 1:30. So that way you're like, oh, I got a lightning lane coming up in 5 minutes that I can make.
Well, right. let's go back to Hollywood for just a minute. Let's say the park opens at 8:30, but you don't get your first Genie Plus attraction until 10:45. At 10:30, you can start stacking those things.
That's right. Okay. Yes.
What does that mean?
You can get a second one. So you'll have two of them. Then, so you've got one that, the first one you got's at 10:45 for Tower of Terror.
So why can you get another one?
Because at 10:30, it's been 2 hours since you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Then you go do Tower of Terror at 10:45. You can get
another one
at that point in time.
Yeah. Gotcha. It depends on how many you've already gotten, because I've gotten caught before where I've tried to stack. And then I couldn't stack anymore. And I was like, why? And he's like, oh, because you have to, you got to wait for that 2 hours to pass.
Yeah.
Or you have to use that second lightning lane you've already stacked.
Right.
So there is like a kind of a cap to it. But if you're smart, you stack them in a way where you can use them quickly and then go to the next one. Yeah. So it's still one of the most confusing systems that's ever been created
at
Disney. So we're trying to help. But
I just think of, imagine you're sitting around a table designing this and coming up, well, what if we did this? You know, I mean,
it seemed like every possible idea got put into this and it was not the best idea to put every possible idea into this. So, yes, the biggest things to watch though are those 2 hour windows because that's going to help you keep going. And then I don't know. I've seen all kinds of different strategies. I typically do try to grab something as close as possible just so I can go ahead and use it. You know, so that was like, so if I'm on the app and it's
close
one,
to where you are.
It's like 1:15 and I'm able to make one, or I just used one and I tap in at my first attraction and I'm good to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to see if there's one available right now. Like I'm going to refresh the screen. I'm going to look and see if there's any times even within the next hour to me, because I can pass an hour real fast. I can go meet characters. I can go grab something to eat. I can get a snack, whatever. And I can let that hour pass. I try not to book anything that's too far out. If that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, another thing that you said that's really important too, for people to understand is when you tap in, right then you get another one.
That's right.
While you're waiting in line to get on the ride, you're already getting another
one. And sometimes
one.
There might be a double tap.
Yeah, those are the annoying ones.
Like when you go in...
Slinky Dog has two.
Tower of Terror, there's a double tap. Yeah, there's a double tap.
The thing I like about Tower, though, is you do have multiple points where you have to wait in the queue. So after that double tap, you go into the library to watch the video, and then you have to wait in line in the boiler room. That is the perfect time to start trying to grab a lightning lane while you're in line. Don't waste time on the ride. Don't be on, like, if you're on Pirates, don't waste your entire ride on Pirates trying to grab one. You're going to miss the entire.
If you can get Wi-Fi in there.
Yeah, if you can even get signal. Yeah. But enjoy the attractions while you're on them. Here's the thing. If you get one for one you really want, that's great. If they're gone, they're gone. Like, it's very unlikely you're going to get that anyways. So just enjoy the attraction and then wait till you get off to try to land another one if your time's up. Another area of time that I try to utilize when I'm booking genies is travel time. So if I'm on the bus, if I'm on the monorail going somewhere, I will be sitting on my phone refreshing, trying to look for times at the next park I'm going to, all those things.
And the good thing now is on Genie Plus is that you can change the times. You can, if you find one that comes open earlier or later, you want that, you can delete and add to it.
Yeah.
You're not married to the first choice.
You can which was not the case before. Before, you had to go through this really weird process of you had to drop your first lightning lane and then hope it was still there and grab it. Now all you have to do is click on the new one and say that you want to change it. And it hopefully it'll change it before it's gone. It's gone again.
Does it say change or modify?
Modify.
Yeah.
Modify.
Yeah. Okay. So, and that's good for people to know too, I think, is that this is a first come first serve. It's very much like the paper fast pass system.
Yes.
It's first come first serve. Once it's gone, it's gone. Like,
how I wish we had paper fast passes again.
Yes.
We have a story about that.
The paper fast passes were great. Were great. Yeah. I do agree. That system was better. But the dread of turning the corner, and it's like 9 o'clock in the morning, and Splash Mountain's already at 10:45 at night, and you're like, "Holy smokes!" Like,
we would walk through Magic Kingdom gate, and then everybody would hand our passes to Micah and whoever, maybe Blaine or Morgan or whatever, and they would run with our passes to that little box and feed them in there to get, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that was funny.
Oh, I would say that was the only sad part about that system is that you're rope dropping fast pass booths.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you're rope dropping that morning, is to go to a fast pass booth
right.
and get your paper fast pass. So that's the one. I think if there is ever a pro for this, it's at least you're not having to rope drop fast booth.
And that one, you could only get one at a time, couldn't you?
You could get multiple. They just couldn't be in the same time frame, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah.
There had to be at least, like, I don't know, like 30 minutes to an hour, I think, apart.
Yeah, or something. Yeah.
It's not like this where you can literally stack them back to back to back, because I've done that.
And the good thing about this, even though we got to complain about it, the good thing about it is that everybody's got the opportunity to be able to get one and be able to go to that. So you're not getting, you can, and the good thing, you always can stand in line too.
That's true. Yes, that is very true.
That's.
Well, the only thing about them, about the Genie Plus Lightning Lanes, whatever you call them, Genie Plus.
Yeah. Ka-chow.
Ka-chow. Lightning Lane. Yep. Ka-chow. The price has gone up.
Yes, that is ridiculous.
Well, and it's per person per day. So if you've got four in your family, five in your family, and it's $30.
Well, and that's again where you got to be strategic.
Yes.
Do you need it for every park, or where are you park hopping to?
No, you don't need it for every park. You only need it for Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios.
Yes. So what do you do? You park hop from Hollywood Studios to Epcot. And you park hop from Magic Kingdom to Animal Kingdom, and you can use them in both parks, but it'd be later in the day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Although I will say, in Animal Kingdom, I think Animal Kingdom is the absolute bottom of the rung in terms of where you want to use it, because which we'll talk about individual lightning lanes in just a second. But really, the only ride there that is like worthy of it is Flight of Passage. But you have to buy that one separately. And so like all the other rides there, it kind of just depends on the day sometimes. Safari might creep up.
Safari might, maybe.
But like Everest is a walk-on if you do single rider. And it's usually not above a 30-minute wait anymore.
I think we've done Genie Plus to go to the Lion King show one time.
Yes, you can grab one for the show, which is useful. I've used it for the show before. But that park just does not have the demand for it.
No, it doesn't.
Like, not unlike the other one. Even Epcot, like, I've gotten some really great days out of Epcot by squeezing, like, going from, like you said, Hollywood to Epcot and using my lightning lanes there. Like, I've been able to get on Soarin', Spaceship Earth, Remy, grab one for Frozen late in the day. Yeah. Like, I've been able to squeeze out a really good Epcot day with just a couple hours because of using it. But it's because it's a remnant of using it at Hollywood or Magic before I got there. Right. But Animal Kingdom just, in my mind, does not warrant using it.
Yeah, I mean, no, you don't have to at all. But if you have it and you go over there, you use it.
That's right. Well, let's talk about individual lightning lanes now, because I think that's the other part of this that is very, very confusing. It's so at each park, there is at least one, and I say at least one because Magic Kingdom has two. There are at least one ride at every park that has a individual lightning lane. So this is a separate purchase from Genie Plus.
Not Genie Plus.
No, it is. It's through Genie Plus.
Technically, yes.
It's through Genie Plus, but
I'm looking at the app right now.
Okay.
It's through separate Genie Plus, but it's called a lightning lane.
Yeah, ka-chow. It is a separate one. So it's an a la carte. It's one that you buy on its own.
So I've got Disney Genie service pulled up. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I see LL Genie Plus on Goofy's Barnstormer, which I would not buy a lightning lane for Barnstormer. That's
not an individual. The only
LL?
Ones, no. Individual lightning lanes in Magic Kingdom, you only have two. Snow White, Seven Dwarfs, and Tron.
Yes.
Is it on the app?
Yes. So pull those up and you'll see it.
So if you scroll through the tip board and you go to those rides, so you go to Seven Dwarfs or you go to Tron, it'll say ILL on there and it'll have a purchase price. So that's the difference, is you'll see a purchase price on those rather than a time slot and you just grab it.
I see. Okay.
Individual lightnings. It says not currently offered.
That's so right. That means they sold out. So that is another thing that's been confusing to people. So Mike listed the ones for Magic Kingdom, Tron, Mine Train. At Epcot, you have, it's Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind.
Guardians of the Galaxy is it, yeah.
And then at Animal Kingdom, you have Flight of Passage and Pandora. Mm-hmm. And then at Hollywood Studios, it's still Rise of the Resistance.
Yep.
So for those rides, if you want to get a lightning lane for them, you have to be up and you have to get them early, but there's a caveat with that too. That's right. So you can purchase those separately on top of your Genie Plus, or you can just wait in line. But here's the deal with those. You cannot book those at 7 a.m. if you are not staying on property. This is where it gets confusing for people.
Okay. Because you can't book the individuals.
Yes, you can. Everybody can book a regular Genie Plus Lightning Lane at 7 a.m., no matter where you are. Wherever you are.
If we're in Dallas, Texas, and we're going to be there at 7 o'clock, I can book a lightning lane.
Yes. Right.
But if I want the individual, I've got to be in the park.
No, you've got to stay at a resort.
You have to stay at a resort to get it at 7 a.m., or you have to wait until the park opens.
You have to be on Disney property.
Yes. So I'll give you an example. So when I was there in March, right, I did not stay on property. First time in a while, I have not stayed on property. On my Epcot day, everybody on the podcast voted for me to buy an individual lightning lane for Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, I couldn't buy one until I got to Epcot, and Epcot officially opened at like 9 o'clock. Like, I had to wait until the clock struck at 9 o'clock to buy my individual Lightning Lane for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Did you
get
that?
If that makes sense. I did. But here's the thing. This is why it sucks to not stay on property sometimes. It wasn't until 7 o'clock that evening.
Oh.
So you're talking about it's already 8 in the morning and I cannot buy one until like almost 7 o'clock that evening. And it was an additional $18 purchase.
So you had to wait a long time. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Now, I also had a virtual queue and I was group 14. So I did get to, I pretty much rope dropped it because my group got called by when I got in the park. But I had to wait until the park officially opened for me to get on the app and buy that individual Lightning Lane for it. So I think I think a story like that will help a little bit more than just explaining it. But
yes.
But that's just kind of, that's if you want one, that's what you have to do. And expect it to be costly, especially for those, for the Trons of the world and for
Guardians.
Guardians, that's going to be high.
Something else about Genie Plus, your party, like usually there's Mike and I, we're linked together on the app. So when he gets one, it goes for me too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But
so
everybody,
like this summer, there's going to be 10 of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we've got to all be linked on the app.
Yes.
So that and one person, Mike, can get us all.
Yes. In. And you all have to have purchased it for that day.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if one of the 10 of you does not have it, that means 9 of you get a Lightning Lane, but that one person does not.
That's going to be Scott.
Yeah.
Poor Jack.
So, yeah, poor Jack. He's not going to get one. But everybody has to be linked together and everybody has to have it purchased that day. That is a great point, Myra.
I know, like that's what I tell clients once they book. You know, the next thing you do is download the My Disney Experience app, get your tickets on there, get everybody linked. All that stuff is very, very important.
Yes. And I would say, like I mentioned earlier with the tip board. The tip board, if you can use it right, will be your best friend throughout the day of getting stuff you want. And I would play around with it before, because you can play on it any day of the week. Mm-hmm. And so what I like to do is I pin the attractions that I want, like I said, at the top. And once I've gotten the Lightning Lane already for them, guess what? I can't book a second one. I cannot book a second Lightning Lane for Tower of Terror if I've already gotten one earlier that morning. So I will drop that pin and Tower of Terror will be off my top of my board because I've already gotten it, if that makes sense. So then every ride at the top is a ride I have not gotten yet. That way I can refresh and see when they're available and grab them as soon as they come up. And I would do that throughout the day. Just update it constantly where I'm dropping them, adding them, all those things. So, but yeah, so far this is pretty good. Is there any other things you guys can think of that maybe people might be confused about? You guys have asked some pretty good.
I think they have to be real careful about getting that. Sometimes you have to work your meals around when you have your Genie Plus.
Yes, that's a good
point. So you have to watch your reservation times and if you have reservations and make sure that you don't overlap those.
Yes. No, that's a great point. Because I almost got in trouble with that individual Lightning Lane for Guardians.
Yeah.
Because it broke down while I was in the line for it, and I had a dining reservation at Yachtsman Steakhouse at 7:45. I had to bump that up to 8:15 or 8:30 because of that. So, which you can't do that anymore. You can't make a last second change anymore to your dining reservation. So now more than ever, it is important for you to be on top of that. That's a good one.
Oh, I had something I was going to say. I know what I was going to say. The only, maybe the only, I think you can't, using this kind of limits you on being spontaneous as to where you want to go, you know?
Yeah.
And so many people now have their heads in their phone
the
whole time, walking through the park or in the line or whatever, you know, that's just kind of a negative I see about it. You have to be planned, you know, strategic about where you're going to go.
And that's what inspired this episode in the first place is because not enough people do their homework. And I see so many people who are miserable throughout the day because they're so confused by it. They're not having any fun at all because they don't understand how it works. And there's some people who go to those parks now, and they don't even know about the park pass reservation system, let alone how Genie Plus works. And so now they are miserable because they are trying to do all these things, which is why we try to do these episodes where we help people understand these things. Because like you said, they spend all day on that phone, and it is miserable. Like when I vlog and have to use Genie Plus all day, my phone battery goes real quick.
Yes.
Like it goes real fast.
Yes.
Yeah. But I can't think of anything else to talk about with Genie Plus. I think we covered pretty much everything that I've ever used to try to land them. So just keep refreshing when in doubt.
We used it at Disneyland at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Mike got really proficient with it. Their system, is it different? Kind of a little bit different?
Basically the same.
It's a carbon copy, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much the same.
Yeah, but you had to stick your phone in that little box.
That part is different because they just got Magic Band Plus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's been different.
It's just, the tap-in thing is different.
Yeah, because what the phone did is it just, I remember I had to scroll through each of the tickets as you checked in.
Yeah. So it was like an Apple Pay kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But just a little slightly different, yeah.
Yeah. But you had to do it for, like, there were, what?
Six of us.
Yes. Yeah. Now, this will, like I said earlier, this is going to change a little bit starting in 2024. They will allow you, once again, to purchase it beforehand starting in 2024. I think it's after the beginning of January. They're going to make that change where you can start.
January the 9th, I think.
Yes, I think that's the correct date. Yeah, they're going to start letting you add it on again before you go, which is going to be helpful, I think. It'll give people time to plan it out. But again, our suggestion here is to only use it on your Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios days.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if you're kind of strapped for cash a little bit, only use it for your Hollywood Studios.
I know at Disneyland, which was really cool, is they allowed us to purchase Genie Plus before we went.
Yes.
So we had already purchased it.
Yeah. Well, and right after that, didn't they change it?
They changed it. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a big advantage for people to have it beforehand. And
well,
not
I think what it does too is they're paying up front and they're not having to pay the day of. And that probably makes people feel a little bit better. They're paying that big amount up front and then not having to come back and get nickel and dime, you know, later.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that this was a very helpful episode. If you guys would let us know if there's anything we missed, mm-hmm. let us know on Instagram, hit us up at Disney My Way Podcast, or find us on the Facebook. Just search Disney My Way Podcast and let us know what questions you guys have about Genie Plus. If there's any more we can answer or help with, we are here anytime. And of course, if you want help planning your magical vacation, like our ad spot said, you can contact Myra. Her email will be down in the show notes below. Mm-hmm. She can help you with Genie Plus and all the fun things that go along with that. And if you guys would as well, please like and share wherever you get your podcast from. It would help us out here greatly. And until next time, we hope you guys have a magical rest of your day. And we'll talk to you again real soon.